I recognize, accept, and experience that which is for my highest good right now. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, USA. Our instant illumination, our instant inspiration for tonight is, I recognize, accept, and experience that which is for my highest good right now. Is that what you experience right now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That which is for your highest good?
Obviously. Yeah.
And so whatever you want to know, you know. So you have come to tell me that you knew what I needed to know. So I recognize, accept, and experience that which is for my highest good. Now, what does it mean, that which is for my highest good? My brother Ray had some changes in his personal and business life. He had been the caregiver for an old friend for many years. And the old friend got a little more difficult to handle and also had greater needs. Plus, my brother Ray, who is 81, was losing his eyesight, and he couldn't read the prescriptions on the bottle. And so he'd have to call some friend in to read the prescriptions on the bottle while he prepared the medication for his ward. And that's not really too cool. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was lifting this person around and helping him and taking care of him and being responsible for him when you can't see very well. And you're 81 and you're oh, he moves around pretty good. He handles himself just well. But it was a big job. It was a big job. And so I knew that he was having difficulty with this. And it was a very good friend of his that he was taking care of. So he wanted to help him. Plus, there was money in it that made it worthwhile for him to do that so he could live more comfortably, too. However, it was apparently not for his highest good, because whenever I would treat for Ray, I would treat that right now he would recognize, accept, and experience that which was for his highest good. Right now, he would recognize, accept, and experience that which was for his highest good. And I let it go. I didn't, come on, Ray, now you accept it and you recognize it. You know, I didn't get so flustered and bubbly bub over that, because I put the law in motion. I put the law in motion for that thing. And it happened. And it didn't, I mean, I'm sure that there will be other sources for him of income, but he has enough to get by. But there'll be other sources coming in, like he can rent the room that his ward had, and he can rent that out and earn a few more dollars and live a little more comfortably during the month, too. A young man from Ghana wrote, and he said he loves our philosophy. He read our gist, and he finds that it's just perfect for him. And he knows about the law of cause and effect and appreciates it. But he asked why bad things happen to good people and why some people return evil for good. And so as I explained it to him, I said, if you are seeking only that which is for your highest good, then you'll have it. But if you're seeking for approval on the outside, you're going to get into trouble, because you're putting a cause in motion to be approved by people by doing nice things to them, and expecting them to do nice things back for you. Now, you should be so filled up with nice things that you don't need any nice things back from anybody. And if somebody gives you something nice back, it's just like you already got your glass of water full and there's no room to put any more. But he was concerned about that. He said, well, why is that, that some people give back evil for good? And I told him, you were dealing with a principle here. It's the principle of the law of cause and effect. And the law of cause and effect does not make any judgment as to what is right or what is evil or what is good. It didn't speak to that at all. The law of cause and effect just says whatever cause you put into motion, you're going to have an effect equal to it coming in your life. Just that simple. Some people change their causes so often that the effects never come about, and they say, it never happened, it never happened. Well, were you consistent? Were you consistent with the cause you put in motion? Were you one-pointed? If you're one-pointed, you got results. If you weren't one-pointed, you didn't. I feel good. Oh, but I hurt. So I feel wonderful. Oh, but I feel fantastic. Where are my pills? You know, and we're so dualistic that we can't even be sick good or well good. We're just neither nor. And we're just sort of, that's called being in the dumps, you know. You're not up and you're not down. You're just no place. That's because you're putting the law in motion and putting in two causes at the same time, the up and the down. And whichever one is the most prominent at the moment you're doing it, that's what you experience a little bit of. But by the time it gets to coming, then you've started to put the other cause in motion, that it won't come, and then it doesn't come. And then you put the cause in motion that it does come, and it starts to come, and then you think, oh, why is it so slow, you know? And then you say, it doesn't work. you chase after it. And it's just like I told one of our students who was chasing after a boy, and I said, don't chase after him. Be so desirable that he wants you. And just strut around and enjoy yourself. You don't need him. If you get him, fine. If you don't get him, fine. You might be surprised at how many other beautiful people there are around that you missed when you were chasing after this person. And maybe this person is right. If it's right, it'll work out. Well, it seems like it was right because it seems to be working out now. But she changed her pattern. Instead of chasing him, she just was there. Oh, she made a few forgetful remarks and actions, like climbing a mountain to see him in the middle of nowhere. But that's okay. They like each other and they get along just fine. But they're putting a cause in motion. And the cause is that apparently, under whatever cost, she wants it. And she may end up paying a pretty heavy cost. Because when you are wanting something so bad that you'll do anything to get it, you're probably going to have to do anything. And things that are not harmonious for you and not for your highest good. But we will know better than that for this person. We'll know that they are guided by the search for their highest good. And they're always on the path of their highest good. And they're always recognizing, accepting, and experiencing that highest good now. Now, this young fellow is saying, how come people, you know, give bad for good? And I said, well, one illustration might be, if I give you a beautiful set of tickets for the ball game, and you say to your wife, I'm going to ball game tonight. And she says, oh, no. For her, it was bad. I planned we're going on a party tonight. I didn't know you had something planned. I didn't know you were going to a ball game. Of course, he didn't either. But she said, I was planning we were going to a party. So for her, that was evil. For me to give you tickets to the ball game, that was evil. Because it was taking you away from what she had planned on having you do. But now for you, it was very good. And it could be evil too, because if you come home after the ball game and you're just ranting and raving how wonderful the ball game was, and your wife says, yes, well, I didn't even go to the party. I couldn't go and face all my friends alone. And and so you got the double whammy there of not going and also her not going. And so that becomes a rather evil thing for me to give you a set of tickets for anything. Now, since you have the set of tickets, why don't you invite your wife along? And of course, the thing is, she's just not interested in sports. But she might have been interested. Say, come on along. and wear that new mink coat I bought for you and show it off at the ball game? Well, of course, when you got it, you got it, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of people doing silly things like that. They go to these places where the ball games and other places, and they wear, well, you've seen what men and women wear at ball games sometimes. These short pants with such brilliant, vibrant colors. I don't mean nice colors, they're just clashing colors. And like the person from Hawaii or from California going to Germany and wearing their summer clothes with all this wild color to it. Of course, now the Europeans are getting to do things like that a little bit too. But years ago, that's an American, the ugly American. But the wonderful thing is, I recognize, accept, and experience that which is for my highest good right now. Not by complaining about the law of cause and effect. Not by complaining about what is going on in my life or what's going on in somebody else's life. But by speaking my word and saying, all is in divine order. All is harmonious. All is peace. And when I do that, all is in divine order. All is wonderful and peaceful. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. But Ellen was telling me that she was proctoring a lesson today, and the lesson was just beyond imagination in excellence. Beautifully done essay, except for one little thing. It was not written in the first person present tense positive. And this is what we teach so strongly through all of our courses and what we require of all of our students in doing their lessons. Every essay they write is supposed to be first person present tense positive. It's a little difficult to do it sometimes because we can't figure out what is first person present tense positive. But it's worth working on. It's worth working on. And so this lady who did this paper, it was so superb, but it wasn't first person present tense positive. So Ellen is contacting her and telling her, your essay was excellent, now just make it first person present tense positive. Well, you can be sure that that essay is going to stay just like it is, and she'll write a new one. She'll write a new one. Because if you try to remold something, it loses the fire, loses the magic of it. But if you just take the new rules and go for it like that, you're in business. Ray had a motel in Laguna Beach a number of years ago when I had my real estate business. And he had mother there helping him run the motel. And one of the tenants in the motel was an artist. And he said to my mother, would you like to have a painting? Oh, yes, one that I did with him. And here was this beautiful nude girl, you know. And it wasn't quite mother's thing. And mother said, you know, that's a lovely painting. I'm sure someone would appreciate it. But I was thinking at more of the sea. I'd like to have a painting of the ocean or something like that. He says, oh, okay. So he takes the painting. He takes the painting back. And he completely covers the canvas with blue paint or whatever it is, you know. And then he paints the ocean on it. The girl is still back there. This beautiful nude is still behind this ocean wave. But only she and her painter know it. But he had to cover it completely before he would paint it, because otherwise that girl would be quite distracting. She was quite a charming girl. And mother had that painting for quite a while. It was a beautiful painting of the sea that was quite lovely. But I asked Ray once the other day, whatever happened to it? And he said, he had no idea. But you see, when we recognize, accept, and experience that which is for our highest good, we're always on top of it. We always demand the best out of us. And we will not take or associate with anything that is lesser than we are. We, like on our internet, we get all these Las Vegas shows and all the pornographic stuff that comes through, and it pops up on there. And you're tempted sometimes to see just what this is, you know, because they make it sound so fetching. And it's always the same stuff. So if you just go through and erase it without any desire to look at it, then you really are for your highest and best. Now, if that type of amusement amuses you, nothing wrong with that, then go for it. It's just, it's not right for me. It's my highest and my best, and your highest and your best. And everyone's highest and best is always the same, but some people don't know that. And we are not in the business of telling other people that their highest and best isn't so high and isn't so good. We only are a living example of what we believe for ourselves. We're a living example of what is our highest and best. And we do not act superior to anybody else, or we might be inferior, but we just believe in what we do and what we are and what we share. Because that's how I recognize, accept, and experience that which is for my highest good right now, is by just living it every day of my life. And that's lots of fun. But at first, it's a little demanding. But once you get in the habit of it, it's very easy. So you all have a lovely evening, and think beautiful thoughts, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.